If you would, turn with me in your Bibles. The Old Testament to the book of Daniel. We're going to read verses 1 through 16 this morning. If you would, stand with me. The name of the message beginning today and then however this takes us out there in the future is Daniel, the book for all people, for all nations, and for all generations. If you look with me at verse 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Verse 3, and the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Children, now notice the qualifications, children in whom was no blemish, had to be strong and of good health, but well-favored, your translation may say, handsome, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, so that at the end of it they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove your servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as you see, deal with your servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them, tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and he gave them pulse. Let's bow for prayer as we come this morning. Father, in this place today, we can only stand before you today and give you the glory. For all that we can say that has done all the testimonies of our lives and in our lives, and testimonies of this church before a lost and dying world, only you should receive glory for everything. For you give us the ability to do that which pleases you and honors you. You give us the ability to perform your will and to do those things which are acceptable in your sight, but also accomplish your redemptive purposes in life. And Father, today in this place, we pray that your word would speak to our hearts in a way that we will begin the rest of our lives on a journey with you to set you before our faces always and to never fail. And we ask, Lord, that you bless the reading of your word this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. As we come this morning, to look at Daniel to begin this journey, I would admonish each of us, myself included, that if during the week you could just read the book of Daniel, once every week, just read the book of Daniel. There's only 12 chapters. If you read 2 chapters a day, in 6 days you could read the book of Daniel. For the book of Daniel, I believe God has put this on my heart, as we have seen, as we're going to look here, and even at some other scriptures, we'll see the power and the promise and the purpose of the book of Daniel. I would like for you, if you would turn your Bibles, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Hold your place in Daniel, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. You see, in the New Testament, writers of the New Testament, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, being moved and inspired by the Holy Spirit Himself, we come to see and understand and put the big picture of Scripture together. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, we see from this passage of Scripture, we're just going to look at verse 11, but you can read the first 10 verses as well. Scripture, the Old Testament Scriptures are to be an example to all of us and a warning to all of us. Notice what Paul said in verse 11. Now, all these things happened, and what was he talking about? He had rehearsed the history of Moses and the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, as they saw the mighty hand of God in their lives, and we read their story, we read their history, and we realize and understand their rebellion toward God. And so now Paul says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so what we read here in Daniel and other places in the Old Testament, all of this is for a reason and for a purpose. It's for our admonition. It's for our instruction, but it's also for our warning. If you look with me on Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Paul, writing to the church at Rome there, says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that is the Scriptures of the Old Testament, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the Scriptures are given for you and me, the Old Testament Scriptures are given for you and me to show us how to live our lives, to teach us what is acceptable to God, what is pleasing to Him, and which those things which we should turn away from. So as we come to see this book of Daniel, that it is written for all people, it is written for all the nations of the world, and it is written for every single generation. But before we can say that, back in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Here in Daniel, we see, though, that there was a historical purpose. There was a purpose for the day and time of Daniel. So first of all, in Daniel's day and time, he was given this prophecy to comfort and to encourage those Jews who were in exile. Now, if you remember, Daniel was in the southern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Judah had already been taken into captivity many years earlier. And you think about what happened. These people were displaced in their lives. Their lives were totally disrupted. Children were separated from their parents. Families were torn apart, never to be, as far as we know, never went back together again, unless it was when they were aged and so many had passed away. So these people needed encouragement and they needed comfort because of what had happened in the northern kingdom. And now the southern kingdom had, the southern kingdom of Israel had experienced this same captivity, and it is opened, the chapter of the book opens up with war taking place and this great separation there. So it was given to comfort and to encourage God's people. And so the prophecy of Jeremiah, if you would turn with me quickly in your Bible, just over a few pages in the book of Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 9. We read this a few weeks ago, or we alluded to this a few weeks ago. We didn't read that actually in Jeremiah. But in verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 25, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north. This is Yahweh God giving this message to Jeremiah the prophet to the people of Israel, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north," that is the northern kingdom, saith the Lord, "and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant." Notice what it says here. This is important for Daniel. "Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant," the servant of the Lord, "and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants of it and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations." And then verse 12, drop down to Jeremiah 25, 12. "And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity," against his people, "and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations." That's important to understand as we come now back to the book of Daniel chapter 1. God wants to comfort his people. You and I today in the year 2012 are the people of God. If you name the name of Jesus Christ and it's real, and your faith in God is genuine, and you know yourself to truly be born again of the Spirit of God, you are one of God's children. We are God's people in Christ Jesus. And so God wanting to comfort all people of all nations and all generations of time, you and I can take this book and bring and apply it to ourselves and to our lives and measure where we are in our faith in God and our faith in Christ. And so we have this comfort. So through the prophecies of Jeremiah, Daniel read the prophecies of Jeremiah and discerned that it was even now that toward the end of his life, he was probably in his early 90s at this point, and he discerned from the scriptures that the time that God would come and restore Israel again was at hand. And so God revealing that to Daniel, Daniel wrote it, and it became a message through the people of God who were in exile there. And so that they might have hope and they might be encouraged by the Lord God, because what had happened to them was really, really very terrible. We don't have time to go into that this morning. But a second historical purpose is that we see in the life of Daniel and this prophecy of Daniel was that fasting and prayer is a part of what needs to be in our lives to discern and to know and to do the will of God. And seeing this, we come and we'll come and realize what is going to happen and what's going to take place. Also, it is to prove that Yahweh is the only true God and that he rules the world no matter what things look like. And there's probably not a more timely time than today, this day, November the 4th, 2012, because of our election coming this week. We don't know what our lives are going to have. We are living in a lot of uncertainty. People are fearful. People are disheveled. We are wondering what is going to be the outcome of the election. And you know what? The election does not determine what God wants to do in our lives. And so no matter what happens, no matter what takes place this week in our nation, we'll look in the book of Daniel and see that God is the God of all nations. It is God who raises up kings, and he is the one who draws them down. He's the one that takes them down. But in this book, we will see that that God, Yahweh, God of Israel, is the only true living God. I was thinking as Bill was sharing his the message from Nepal there, what those people have to see in their absolute, mindless, religious, repetitious prayers and throwing of smelly incense into the fires and turning the wheels and falling on the ground and scraping their hands and all of that relentless, mindless, everything, nothing even makes sense about what those people do, and they live their lives and they're entrapped. But it's the light of God. It is the light of God to the world. And God gave it in Daniel's day. And God is giving it in this day. God is at work in every nation, in every people, and every single generation. And we see that here. So God's actions here in the book of Daniel are meant to prove that God is supreme in all that he does. Now there's a spiritual purpose, and we'll get back to the verses here in just a moment. There's a spiritual purpose. And just a quick overlook here, there's at least eight spiritual themes, or eight spiritual truths in the book of Daniel. The first one is the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is an incredible thing, and we must learn what that is and trust what it is. The second one is the sinfulness and rebellion of the human race. The third truth is the reality of spiritual warfare, but also the power of prayer in that warfare. The fourth is the truth and accuracy of God's Word. We can trust the Word of God, and it can be for the final authority over our lives. The fifth truth is the rise of the Antichrist in the last days and the forces of evil that will always come against God's people. The sixth great truth is that of the great tribulation which is coming upon the face of the earth. The seventh truth is the resurrection from the dead, the promise of life everlasting. There's also the promise and the guarantee of everlasting death in a place called hell. And then the eighth truth is the ultimate triumph of God over the kingdoms of this world. We'll see that in this book, the prophecy of Daniel. But we also see the Christ-centered purpose of the book. That is, he foretells the ministry of the Messiah God, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And I love the message and the song, the special song that we heard just a short while ago. That tremendous truth was in that song. So as we come now and look at this passage of Scripture in the moments that we have left, I want to bring us down to look here in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 1. Notice it begins with war. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, to understand this, you'd have to go back into the book of Chronicles and the back of 2 Chronicles and then 2 Kings to read the background of everything that happens to justify and show that God is righteous in what he did to his people. Because of their, for over 200 years, God had sent prophets to Israel to bring the people back to truth, bring people back to the Word of God, bring people to righteousness and to obedience, and the people consistently rejected that in their lives. So we see in verse 1 that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came, as we read in Jeremiah, he was God's servant. But look with me at verse 2 now. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God. So God is in control of the nations of the world. This is important for us to see and to understand because we have prophecies that tell us what it's going to be like at the end times. As we grow closer and closer to the end of the ages, the final age of time, God is going to culminate everything at one time at the end of the ages. The end times begin with the birth and the ministry of Christ, the last day, but the end times is what takes place at the end of the last days. God is going to bring everything to an open show. He's going to demonstrate his power and his might and his glory, and he's going to overcome all the kingdoms of the world that have always set themselves against God. And so Daniel's prophecy teaches us how to live faithfully unto our God and live without compromise in our lives, without compromising to the world's loyalties and the world's idolatries, but to walk by faith no matter what is going on in life. And Daniel shows the absolute necessity of prayer in our spiritual warfare. The proof and accuracy of God's work and the truth that God judges sin. So look in rest of now verse 2. So Jehoiakim, king of Babylon, took and overthrew the king and took some of the vessels out of the house of God. And there's even a story there. We don't have time this morning. But he said, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. Now the things that were in the temple, the things that were there for God's people to worship God and to know him and to declare his truth and his power and his might, these things were taken to a pagan nation, a pagan country, by a pagan king into a pagan temple, mixing the things of God with the pagan things of this world. That's the sin in Jeremiah 25:12 that God told Jeremiah to say that the Babylon would pay for their sins. And so he says, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now that being said, look with me at verse 3. And the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored or handsome and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. These had to be the choicest young men in Daniel's day in the land of Israel. And probably Daniel was around 13 or 14 years old, according to the customs of the day and the Persians, as that's who these people are when they come to do what they did there. And so they took the finest of the sons of the nobility, of the kings and of Israel there, and he took them up and he was going to take them in for his purposes. And so it says in verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So what do they have here? They had 3 years to be tested by the king of Babylon. You know, we go through testings in our life. Here is for Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their new names. They were given a 3-year span of time to prove themselves in the school of Nebuchadnezzar so that they might stand in his presence and he might judge whether or not they were worthy to work in his government and to be leaders there among his people. And so here is where the challenge really began for Daniel and his friends. And it's where you and I stand on a day-by-day basis in our lives as well. Because here the king was going to produce something in them. He was going to try to produce in them what he willed for them and their lives. This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to overtake their lives, overtake their customs, and overcome the things of the God of Israel and erase it out of their lives. So he appointed to them that they're going to eat the king's food and drink the king's wine, and they're going to be nourished for 3 years. They're going to be schooled, and one day there will be a graduation day. Well, you know, that's just like the world today. The world wants you and me to go through the school of its successes. As the world says success is, that's what you and I are challenged with every day of our lives. Young people, you're faced with that at school, with your friends, with your activities. You are challenged as Daniel and his friends were challenged. You're challenged on a day-by-day basis of what you're going to do with your life. Well, here the king was setting up Daniel and his friends for what would be their spiritual failure if he was successful, but he was not. So what was the goal of the Babylonians? Well, I like the way one, I guess, Bible teacher put it, let the brainwashing begin. Because that's what was taking place. In verse 5, the king's meat, the king's wine, and be schooled and to be brainwashed by the Babylonian Empire. Remember, you heard me say the day after we came back from Nepal that Buddhism has its roots all the way back into the day of Daniel. And what Bill was trying to describe and what others will try to describe as we share about that work over there in Nepal is the overwhelming mindlessness and futility of what they call religion, that they have come to reject God in all shapes and forms. Now, they have gods. They have Buddha, and it's just a pervert, doesn't even look like a human being. And they have their idea of God and what he is. And people have that today as well in their lives. But here in Daniel's day, in whatever God that was the God of the Babylonians at that time, Nebuchadnezzar was setting before the children of God, the people of God, the things that God abhors and God hated. Now, what was interesting about this, because God had given prophets for over 200 years for his people to not compromise with the gods of the people and the people around them and all of their gods. Now, Daniel and his friends are taken into captivity, gone down into Babylon, and now they're in the seat of all of this, and here God gives Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah the ability to confront this pagan idolatry of the world probably in the face of death, and they would stand for what God wanted them to do in their lives. And that's a message for all of us, for all people of all ages, of all time. Every generation must prove the worth of Christ for themselves. And so they were there and they would stand before the king. Now look with me at verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judah. That's Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But then to change up what he wanted to make this transformation, he changed their names. Look with me at verse 7. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar means may Bel, capital B-E-L, the god Bel, protect his life. Changing the name to change the identity. Hananiah means Yahweh is gracious. And his name is changed to Shadrach, which means the command of Aku, A-K-U, which is another pagan god of Babylon. Mishael, whose name is who is what God is, becomes Meshach, and it means who is what Aku is. In other words, the association, the relationship with God, that's what his name meant. And then finally, Azariah, whom Yahweh helps, becomes Abednego, means a servant of Nebo. So in each case, their Hebrew names spoke of the true God, and their names were changed to speak of the Babylonian gods. And this is what was going on. The great brainwashing was then taking place. But notice the inner result, beginning in verse 8, and we'll close here pretty soon in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You see, Daniel understood at his young age his relationship with God, his knowledge of the true living God was such that he understood that to join himself with this king and his whole plan, his overall plan, was against the will of God and against the nature of God. And the world out there, everybody, folks, brothers and sisters, the world out there does not love the God that you and I profess to know and love. You just mentioned some of the things that that the Bible stands for, the truth that Bible stands for, and you will incur a reaction of the people of the world. So Daniel understood that. Then in verse 9, now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The favor of God in our lives. Remember the three things that I shared? Was it last week, I believe it was? There are three things that we pray that we receive from God. The favor of God on our lives, the wisdom of God to live our lives, and then the unction of the Spirit of God, the presence of God working in and through our lives directly. And so God brought Daniel into favor with this prince of the eunuchs. And so as we see here, and we'll come back and finish this as we continue on, but the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, and who appointed your meat and your drink. Why should he see your faces worse than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me in danger of losing my head to the king. Because that was the penalty for disobedience. What is the disobedience of the world to you? You see, what Daniel had was something in his heart that the world, that the Babylon could not take away from him. And that was the inner resolve, the inner desire in his heart to do the will of God, the will of Yahweh. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes as we come this morning. Please understand that this prophecy of Daniel will grow in our minds and our hearts, and I pray our lives in the days ahead. We live in some pretty tough times. Wow. The chaos, the violence, the uncertainty. But you know what? God is in control of all of it. And the test is for you and me. Are we going to be like Daniel and his friends and be faithful to our God in the world that we live in? Or are we going to compromise just enough with the world so that we don't suffer any kind of unpleasantness, any kind of displeasure, any kind of uncomfortableness in life? As we go ahead and as we come back and as we return to this prophecy over the next few weeks, what will you determine in your own heart that you're going to do in the sight of God with your life? We're challenged every day to compromise. Daniel would not compromise. And this prince of the eunuchs stuck his neck out. And you know what? God showed his power and his might. If you want to see God's power work in your life, resist compromise of your Christian faith and the truth of God's word that you profess has bought your redemption. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing just a hymn of invitation. I don't know what God has spoken to you today about, but whatever is on your heart, would you just give it to the Lord? Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you just want to just bow your head where you're at, or maybe you're just doing that right now. But just a few moments of invitation time for each and every one to just look in your own heart and your own life and look up to God. Look up to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and be honest. Be honest with who you are and what you are and what you're doing with your life and whether or not it pleases Him who died for you. Father, in this place today, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for Your Spirit that lives in us to produce in us Your holy will and Your righteousness. And we pray that Your truth would increase in our hearts and our lives. And we pray that You'll bless today our lives through Your Word. And it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.